KFAN at the Combine continues 9 to noon. Paul Allen, Paul Charchian, LeakSafe.com. Now happy to be joined by Minnesota Vikings head coach Mike Zimmer. Mike, I'm appropriately trying to promote this via Twitter. What's your Twitter handle?
Paul Allen at KFAN.
It is?
I think so.
Wow, you stole that from me, sir.
Yeah, I did, yeah.
You know, one arguably...
Hashtag me.
You know, arguably... one of the worst things about your job, and there are a lot of great things about your job, including
losing,
coaching a division champion, you're picking 23 this year, sure you can get something nice there, got free agency coming up, is knowing how much you enjoy your Kentucky ranch and the outdoors, hunting, maybe fishing, stuff like that. That's like the worst thing with your job, because this is like your time of the year to do stuff like that, right?
Yeah, fall is a bad time to be a hunter if you're a football coach. So, but, you know, you still like to get out and promote the land, try and get the wildlife better, the habitat better for the wildlife, and
yeah.
You can still look at them.
You're wearing your camo now. Is it on your mind? I mean, do you have any trips planned? Have you gotten out? Have you done any hunting?
Bud Grant and I went to Stuttgart, Arkansas, and
wow.
We did a little duck hunting, and we're actually planning a trip to go to South Texas to King Ranch, and we're going to hunt, I think, some nilgai and turkey.
What's nilgai?
A nilgai is a animal that they brought in from India, and they brought it in for the meat.
Okay.
And it's supposed to be better than beef. And so, but the problem was when these animals are very skitterish, and so as opposed to when you bring out the food for them, they never came to the food.
Okay.
As soon as they see somebody, they run. They run like animals. They're big. I got a picture on my phone of the one I shot, but...
Bragger.
Yeah. But anyway, now they're overpopulated with them, and they're trying to get rid of them. They're, they're technically exotic game animals. So one way to do it is by... hunting them.
Do they look like deer? I mean, I'm trying to envision what this thing even looks like.
And they taste like chicken, right?
They actually look like big zebras.
Wow.
Really? Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, they're not as striped, but they have horns and...
When you get all peaceful in the outdoors with Bud Grant, do you ever chat football? Like old school football or current football?
Well, I do more of the question asking than he does. We do... I mean, I have asked him about, you know, what they've done in the past and players and, you know, what he looks for in guys and things like that, yeah.
Now, in the in all your years in the National Football League, back to like 94, 95 with the Cowboys, outside of the crush of media where you see all these radio stations, 1,500 media credentials, stuff like that, what has changed with the Combine? Like what's different for you now?
Well, being on TV, the exposure, I mean, so many draft mock drafts, the draft gurus, I think those things. Some of the drills have changed a little bit, but other than that, not too much. The interview process is a little bit different now. It used to be longer. Some of the, you know, there wasn't as organized. You know, I guess some of those things.
What about, like, the attitudes of the players?
That was, like, how many years ago? That's a long
05,
time, I remember.
That's 20 years.
Yeah, it's a long time. 22,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
But
well, you know Rick Goslin, the Goose, right?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, we kicked off our combine coverage with him at 9:03. Yeah.
He's great.
And he's fantastic.
One year he predicted, when I was in Dallas, 1 year he predicted all 32 right.
Yeah.
That's crazy. That's like lottery stuff.
He became a columnist for the Dallas Morning News in 2011, so he stopped doing that mock.
Mm-hmm.
I was telling him, seriously, for people like me, that mock, you know, he would put it out at like midnight or 6 a.m., and not many people in Minnesota would know about him.
Mm-hmm.
So I would find it, and he was so accurate.
Yeah.
It might not be 32 for 32, but he is the most plugged-in guy, I swear, in the history of the NFL.
Yeah, he's great, and he's a good guy.
Yeah.
The attitude of the players. You know, I don't know. You know, each guy is a little bit different. I think all the personalities are different with each individual guy. So, you know, I don't know that that's changed too much.
Have you ever run into any players in these 20-minute meetings or whatever they are, and when it was over, you look at Rick Spielman or somebody with Cincinnati, and you're like, I don't care how good the measurables look. There's zero chance this guy's going to be on my team.
Oh, yeah. Lots of times. Lots of times.
What are the players savvier? Have they been coached up for the interviews? They've been coached up to, you know, say all the right things, and they know all the questions that are coming. Has that part changed? Are they more evasive? Is it harder to get at who they really are?
Yeah, I don't know if it's more evasive. It's more prepped.
Yeah,
they're really prepped on a lot of the questions. You know, now they. You know, I guess one of the big things for the combine now, as opposed to in the past, is how they go places now. The agents pay for them to go to places, and they work out, and then they do all their testing while they're there. They do the mock interviews and all the different things that they do. I think so that process has probably changed a little bit.
You know, with Ole Miss wide receiver Laquon Treadwell, I mean, seriously, I don't watch much college football. I couldn't pick him out of a two-man lineup standing next to Linval Joseph. But we read up on him and everything, and like the week up to the combine, he has opted not to run at the combine. From a head coaching standpoint, like when something like that happens, how much does that matter?
Well, it matters a little bit because you wonder, but you know, the only thing it really does is it makes you go down to his college workout and you know, so you got to make an extra trip.
Yeah.
But there are circumstances that don't that you know they can't run because of this or an injury or you know whatever. So each guy's a little bit different. You know, a lot of guys feel more comfortable running on their home
right.
surface or whatever it is. So
yeah.
You know, you can't. It upsets you, but it can't really blame them because, you know, this is their, you know, this 40 time is probably important.
Well, it can be very important. I just, you know, I think the players, if you have the option, they would rather have the only measure they get be on their home, you know, on their home field where everything is, you know, has been set up just the way they want it so that they can succeed, and the school helps them do that.
Well, it's kind of like you're playing, you know, you got a home field advantage because you slept in your own bed, and
yeah.
you got behind your own fans, and, you know, now it's a neutral site, so you never know.
Mike, how important, when it comes to making your team better with rookies, how important is this part of the process compared to, like, the week of Senior Bowl practices, the pro days, and then your scouts and Spielman and his staff and everything? I mean, they've done laborious work over the last year with tape. How important is this whole thing?
Well, I think this part kind of starts the where you start really getting intense on things. You know, for the scouts, when they go out in the fall, a lot of it's about narrowing down the process of certain guys and, okay, well, this guy's not a fit for us or you know, this is his grade, and so we can kind of eliminate guys. Now it's more about you starting getting really into it. You find out some of the things. You get a chance to meet them again for the second time, you know, the Senior Bowl being the first time.
Yeah.
The juniors weren't there, so this could be the first time for some of them.
Yep.
And then, you know, then it starts. The coaches start grinding on film, and then we start trying to put them in order. So this, to me, this is really kind of the grind start.
Mike Zimmer, head coach of the Minnesota Vikings from Indianapolis. It's KFAN at the Combine.
Coach, you're, no matter how long you've been coaching, there's nothing that really prepares you for how your season ended. And when you look back on Blair's miss, and then, you know, moments later, you're in the locker room talking to your guys. What's going through your mind as you're thinking, you know, I need to say something to this group of guys that are devastated. I've got a kicker who, you know, who knows what's going through his mind. I mean, it's not something you know, there's not a handbook for that.
No.
So, you know, what's going through your mind as you're thinking about how to address the team there? And then secondarily, because you can't prep for it, have you had any thoughts since then about, I wish I would have said this or I wish I'd have done anything differently?
Yeah, you know, I think it... Paul, after every game, there's times when you say things after the game that you think back and say, you know, I wish I would have said that or I wish I would have said this.
Sure.
Unfortunately, probably right after that game, I probably couldn't say anything that I really wanted to say anyway because you're sitting there and, you know, you got your 10 minutes or till the team comes in and then, you know, you're still upset about what happened. But and then you start to rationalize a little bit. The thing is, kind of struck me funny this year is that I've been more mad about the whole thing, you know, about the season almost, you know, because I felt like I didn't know that we would be there. If you'd asked me at the beginning of the season, hey, will you be 11-5 and you got a chance to kick a field goal to win the first round of the playoffs, I would have said, come on.
Yeah.
You know, we've got so much work to do. But then after being there and getting done with the season and after the kick, and then, you know, you got a week or two, you know, you think about it and you start moving on, I'm thinking, damn it, how can we get better? What can we do to get this thing better than so we're not in that situation again next year? And so that's kind of been my mindset. You know, that's a little bit why you know, I'm trying to figure out what things to change and how to move forward. And, you know, I think about one of the big things that I keep thinking in my mind when I got the job in with the Vikings, it was how do we make a temporary stadium our home stadium, right? And so I did research going on to that. But now it's like, okay, well, now we're going into our real home stadium, and how can we really make it a home stadium? Because it really is completely different again.
Yeah.
It's a totally different atmosphere, even though it's a new stadium, and it's the Viking stadium, it's U.S. Bank, all that stuff. I've seen teams move into other stadiums that haven't performed well, just because of whatever it is, the glitz, or, you know, everybody wants to come to the new stadium and see it, so a lot of visiting fans buy tickets to come.
Yeah.
So that's kind of, you know, those are things that I am thinking about right now.
Well, I'm glad you brought it up that way, because this is an interesting barrier through which you guys need to get right now. When you got here in 2014, with all due respect to the previous regime, statistically, the 2013 defense was arguably the worst in the history of the organization. You got it to jump up significantly and even more last year. Now you're a division champion with 11 wins. So it's fair to say the Minnesota Vikings are good to very good, but getting to great, I mean, that's a major barrier through which to break, right?
It is. And, you know, I told somebody this the other day. I said one of the statements that I'm going to use with the team is good is the enemy of great.
I'm stealing it.
You know, because everybody, now you're good. Oh, everybody's telling you how good you are. You're good. And, oh, well, we don't have to do this today because we're good. Right?
Yeah.
Well, do you want to be good or do you want to be great?
Yeah.
So that's really what this is all about.
Good gets you bounced out of the first round of the playoffs.
That's right. Yeah. That's exactly right.
And with this group, I mean, you have to be mindful of the fact that, I mean, shoot, we can go back to training camp. Final day of training camp, you ended that thing 45 minutes early because it seemed like, if I recall from our chat that day, that they kind of felt they were a little better than they were and they needed something eye-opening. Maybe the same thing at the end of preseason, get beat by the Niners. So that could be an inherent mindset with some people on this team.
Yeah, I don't think it really is, Paul. With the players we have on our team, we have a lot of guys that are quality young men that that care, that work real hard, that are smart guys or tough guys. You know, there's times throughout a training camp that practice is not going to be up to the standards that you want them to have. And, you know, and games like the San Francisco game or the Seattle game the first time or whatever, you know, that happen throughout the course of a long season. You just got to make sure that those things don't happen very often, and hopefully you make sure they don't happen ever. But
yeah.
So those are learning experiences, though.
All right, so if you're focused on good to great, and you're saying you're already wheels are in motion about where we make improvements. And I know you're not going to talk about free agency changes and personnel things because you can't do that right now. But can you talk broadly about some of the things you have in your mind about where you want to get better? Where are the areas of improvement?
Well, without being specific to positions or players or things like that.
I understand.
You know, obviously we have to get better on offense. We've got to score more points than we do. And that could be a number of different ways. I don't really care how we do it. and honestly, I don't mind winning 11 games and winning 13-10. That doesn't bother me, but I wouldn't. But if you said, okay, would you like to win them 24-10, I'd say yeah. You know, like that. Defensively, we still got to do a better job in some of our run things. We gave too many long runs last year. The completion percentage against some of the quarterback rating we've had, some more turnovers. And I'm not a huge turnover guy. I've never been that way. I'm about playing solid fundamental defense. Mm-hmm. But if we can take that and become, you know, turnovers allow you to beat, you know, how we beat the Giants 48 to whatever.
Yeah.
Because of we got turnovers. So that's another way of scoring points. It's another way of making the game more open so that we can pass rush better. We can use our blitzes better. We can attack the quarterback better, and turnovers come when you do that. So, you know, some of those things offensively, I don't think we did a good enough job in the red zone. We can get better in third downs. I mean, there's so many areas. We gave up too many long kickoff returns this year. You know, so there's a lot of things that we can do better, and the big thing is that we're capable of doing better, and that's always my mindset. Are we good enough to do it, or are we just not capable of doing it? And I do believe we are, and each year is a different year, and so we're going to have to go out and prove it again.
What would you like to see? You made a change at your offensive line coach. What would you like to see Tony Sparano do for your line this year?
Well, you know, we've given up way too many hits on the quarterback.
Yeah.
We've given up way too many sacks in the last 2 years, the 2 years that I've been here. So we've got to eliminate those kind of things. I honestly think the demeanor of the offensive line is going to change with bringing Tony Sparano in. I've worked with him. I know how he is.
When you say demeanor, do you mean nastiness? Are you talking? What does that mean?
I think attitude, nastiness, if you want to say it. I think the mindset of the room is going to change. I think, you know, maybe we're a little cerebral in that group, and we need to be a little bit more. I can't say the words.
Cage fighter.
Badasses. Hey, your new tight ends coach, Pat Shurmur. I mean, you have three former head coaches on the offensive side, Pat Shurmur, Tony Sparano, and Norv Turner. You and Pat have a deep history, don't you? I mean, he was at Philly. You were at Dallas. You were in Cincy. He was in Cleveland. So what do you like about Pat Shurmur?
Well, number one, I think he's a good guy. Number two, I think he's very knowledgeable. He's got a good personality about him, the way he does things. And, you know, just being around, you know, I've never worked with him, so I don't know.
Yeah.
But he's been a big West Coast guy. And I think, you know, I just think more ideas that you can get. You know, one of the things that always helped me, I think, when I was coaching and Parcells made me go to the 3-4, I think it always helped me learn different ways to do it, learn different things. And I do believe that there's a lot of really good coaches in this league that have a lot of good ideas, and why should we say, hey, this is the only way to do it? I mean, you know, expand your knowledge and let's figure out a way to do it. But the most important thing is I do feel like with that room in there with Norv and Scott and Pat and Tony and those guys, that they have a good – they're not afraid to speak their mind.
Yeah.
So there's good conversation. And if you have good conversation, then you can come up with good ideas, and you can all leave. When you get out of the room, you can all leave and be on the same page.
This isn't so much a question, just more of an observation and maybe even a compliment. I like that you don't feel intimidated by having other people that have been head coaches and had a long track record in the NFL, and I know for a fact that hasn't always been the case with this organization, a lot of coaches, where they just don't feel comfortable having somebody that's achieved more than they have. And I think it says a lot that you're willing to take those people on and listen to what they have to say, because there's a part of human nature that doesn't want to do that.
Yeah, you know, and I've never been one to really get too intimidated by too many things, but I do think that these guys, I've always tried to learn from other coaches, and you know they may have done things a better way than me. And by no means do I think I have all the answers. But more importantly to me, my job is to do whatever's best for the Minnesota Vikings organization and our fans. And if I can do that and bring guys in and you know, the important thing is everybody understands their roles and where they are. As long as everybody understands the roles, yeah, I think it's great.
Yeah.
Next year, obviously, he would have to earn it, Trey Waynes, and not to play any hands or anything. But given where he was selected last year, what he went through last year, excellent on special teams, got that pick in the Seattle playoff game off the tip. Does Trey Waynes need to start next year?
Well, I don't know. You know, Paul, it's... What is this, February 24th or something?
So you're not married to the fact that he was taken so high last year that, you know, he has to be ready is basically what you're saying, right?
I think Trey Waynes has a very good chance to start, but I'm not going to give a job to anybody. He has to earn it just like everybody else on our football team, and if he's the best player, he'll play. You know, I think this was a good year for him to learn. He has a lot of great physical talent, you know, and some of the, and he still has to correct some things to be the type of player that I want him to be, and
yeah,
you know, that's the important thing to me is how do I see this guy being? I think he could be a really, really good one, and so, but I'm trying to teach him more about the game of football and how you compete and how you play than just okay, well, you got picked 11th in the draft and you go play. It wouldn't be fair to the other guys on my team either.
Terrence Newman quietly, I think, was, you know, quietly played an incredibly important role. When he was signed, you know, late in the summer, I don't think anybody expected that he would be virtually an every down player for you for the whole season. Do you have any thoughts on him potentially having a role with this team next year?
Well, I think he's got a chance to. You know, he's a great kid, number one. He's he's a guy that I think helped us in a lot of different ways. He loves the game of football, and he's a smart guy, and he played pretty well. So I think there's an opportunity for him to come back.
Whether it's a guy on your team now, somebody in free agency, or somebody in the draft, what kind of safety best complements Harrison Smith and the way Harrison plays?
The best one.
I mean, is it a free safety type?
Well, no. I think that Harrison can do a lot of things. I do think that if we had the correct complement next to him, that would allow him to be more of an impact player on our defense.
Right.
I do believe that. Mm-hmm. So saying that, and I don't want to get too specific on the kind, but let's just leave it at that. I think if we had the right complement next to Harrison, we could allow Harrison to be a more impactful player.
What are your thoughts at this stage of the equation about one of our favorites? I mean, is he one of the best overall guys in your team at this stage of his career? Probably not, Chad Greenway. But, I mean, he's such a favorite of so many of ours. And I mean, we've known him for so long.
Yeah, I saw you with your pom-poms out at the...
No, you didn't.
At the...
You're not supposed to see that. You're supposed to be hunting at the ranch.
I see a lot more than everybody thinks
what,
I see.
What was the chant again?
One more year.
One more year.
I didn't start at the...
You had pom-poms.
Oh my God! The crowd started it.
I was going to see what kind of skirt you had on.
You want to see my skirt? Yeah, give me some free agency secrets, and I'll show you the skirt. But Chad's future here. I mean, what can you share?
Well, I think obviously Chad wants to be back.
Yeah,
right?
Badly.
And I think it'll all work out in the end.
Sweet.
You know, it's not my call. At the end of the day, it's about how they can come together in terms or whatever it is. He's a free agent, and so, you know, I'm sure he's got probably numbers in mind, and I'm sure Rick's probably got other numbers in mind. You know how that always works.
But nobody wants a handout. I mean, did he earned a potential, the chance to come back, right?
Well, I think the biggest thing that Chad did for us this year is he took on his role, played it well, and probably outperformed his role because of a lot of the things that happened throughout the year. So he became not only a very valuable locker room guy, and you know, and that's great to have locker room guys, but at the end of the day, you got to have football players, mm-hmm. right? If we don't have a good locker room, it's my job to fix the locker room. So I think there's a great opportunity for him to be back, but that's really not my call.
Mike Zimmer, Vikings head coach from the Combine. A couple of quickies to close, Charge.
You know, normally when your kicker misses a big field goal and, you know, is part of a loss, the next week he's got to go a chance to correct it. Blair's not going to kick again for 8-9 months. Are you, any thoughts about, you know, being in touch with him or just seeing where he is mentally between now and, you know, OTAs or next time you see him?
No, not really. I'll say, you know, when he comes back in April 18th, and you know, Blair's a tough. He's a tough kid mentally. I think he'll be fine. He's gonna, you know, he's a good kicker, and you know, I always think about this when I was in Cincinnati early in the season. We played Denver one year, and we lost a couple close games or something like that. And one of the players said to me something that's really stuck out. He didn't say to me. He said in the paper. He says, you know, those guys, they've got a really good team. They just have to believe. And really, that's the same thing with Blair. He's a good kicker. He just has to believe. And so, you know, put the past behind. And if you believe you're a good kicker and you are a good kicker, then go kick the damn ball.
did Eric Kendricks have a good season, according to the way you analyze it?
Yeah, I think he did. He played well.
Did he finish well?
I think, yes, and he improved well. He improved throughout the season. He improved in coverage. He improved with his knowledge of the game. A lot of different ways, yeah.
Is Anthony Barr sitting on elite status if he's not already there?
Well, there's a lot of things he can get better at.
Yeah.
There's for him to be elite, there are several things he has to get better at. But he has the ability to do that. It's not about it's talent. It's about, you know, it's not about smarts. He's a very smart kid. He's a great kid. It's about the finishing plays and, you know, don't take the easy way sometimes and things like that.
Yeah. Last one. Go ahead.
We haven't mentioned your quarterback yet.
Yeah.
Not once.
Hey, that's great. Well,
that is probably a good sign, right?
And we've had no Adrian talkers like last year.
Right, exactly.
That's great.
That is amazing.
Paul Allen's either going to call games for us or he's not going to call for anybody.
When we're talking 1 year from now at next year's Combine, what would you like us, in an ideal world, what would you like us to have seen from Teddy in the 2016 season?
Hmm. That's a good question. Think a year from now, and now you're really putting me on the spot. You know, I think maybe just if you said, you know, he really took charge this year. He really, you could just see his the mentality of him changing his the way he his growth that way. And that, you know, we can talk about all the physical things, but I think that would probably be the biggest thing. You know, this guy really grew as a leader and a in a. He matured, and he really took charge of this football team, and hopefully he takes charge of the league.
Mike, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
I appreciate it.
Yep,
I think I just saw Greg Williams walk by. If you want to go have a conversation with him, he might be waiting over by the Sirius NFL radio to chat with you.
I'm not going anywhere.
Thank you, Mike.
All right, see you.
Mike Zimmer, head coach of the Vikings, KFAN at the Combine, back in a flash.